International Bible Study Commentary, Verse-by-Verse Bible Lessons Through the Bible, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. The Gospel of John, Chapter 6, Verses 60 through 71. Hear now the word of the Lord from the New Revised Standard Version, John 6, 60 through 71. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, the one of the 12, was going to betray him. May the Lord bless this reading of His Holy Word. International Bible Study Commentary, John 6, 60 through 71, New Revised Standard Version. John 6, 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" Having studied the previous verses, we can see why those who followed Jesus did not and could not understand all Jesus meant. And even if they had understood, they still might have quit following him. Some people quit doing something when things get difficult, while others can see enough value in what they have learned thus far to persevere until they know the value or lack of value in what they are learning. It was once said of a certain philosopher, "It would take a lifetime to understand him, and it would not be worth it." By the grace of God, Jesus can be understood, though not exhaustively, and understood well enough to receive him as the giver of eternal life. It is worth the effort to study and learn more about Jesus throughout one's lifetime, and God's children will do so forever. John 6, 61. But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you?" John emphasized and illustrated in his gospel that Jesus knew what people thought. He knew in advance the result of his teachings and discussions with those who came to him. Jesus knew that he sometimes had to teach in figurative language. Because he had not done so, it would have led to his death before he finished teaching what he came to teach. He knew he could later explain his true meaning within his figurative language to his disciples for them to teach the full meaning after his resurrection. He knew that he would lose a great deal of popular support if he continued teaching the truth as he did. But during the subsequent centuries, the Holy Spirit has helped believers come to understand his teachings and live according to them. Jesus was not only striving to teach the crowds around him, but generation after generation after them, through his followers, as they taught and interpreted the Bible and his words. Jesus did not come to be the most popular rabbi of his time. Jesus came to teach the truth, as difficult as the truth might be to understand, without further study, and to lead people to believe in him as the Savior of the world, that they might receive eternal life. John 6:62. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? In order for Jesus to fulfill and make possible what he told people in the preceding verses, he had to die a sacrificial death on the cross, rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, and give the Holy Spirit to those who entrusted their lives to him. At this moment during his ministry, he could not explain all this to his disciples or to the crowds. His disciples would need to keep following him to learn these facts and, following his crucifixion, death, and burial, they would need to experience the fulfillment of his teachings about his rising again on Resurrection Sunday and afterwards. Those who obeyed and followed Jesus did eventually see him ascend where he was before. We read in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 52. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and, lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Though his disciples did not understand his words at that time, after more experience with Jesus, they would and did. So we can, with study. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The flesh cannot give life. It must have life or nourishment given to it. Therefore, the flesh is useless regarding trying to live on flesh alone, or in trying to receive and enjoy eternal life now and forever through the flesh. In the first use of spirit in this verse, lowercase spirit in King James Version and New Revised Standard Version, uppercase spirit in New American Standard Bible and New International Version, in the words, the Spirit that gives life, we know that God is the source of all life, and only God has life in and of himself. That includes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God does not depend on anyone or anything outside God's eternal nature to exist and have life. The Spirit within life or within flesh depends on the Spirit, that is, God, and there can be no life in the flesh if there is no Spirit given and sustained by God. In the second use of Spirit in this verse, lowercase spirit, King James Version, New American Standard Bible, and New Revised Standard Version, uppercase spirit in New International Version, we learn that Jesus' words give spiritual and eternal life. Apart from receiving Jesus and his words into one's life, into one's heart and mind, it is impossible to have spiritual and eternal life. Jesus came in human flesh to teach the words of his Father, the words his Father gave him. He also suffered, died, and rose again in human flesh. But his words give spirit and life to those who believe him. To eat his flesh is to eat or take into oneself his words and believe them. John 6:64. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. As the Son of God, Jesus had divine foreknowledge. Nothing ever caught Jesus by surprise, although it is surprising that despite all Jesus' signs and teaching, some simply would not believe in him as the person sent from God. Jesus chose the 12, knowing who would betray him, and knowing the scripture that foretold one of his followers would betray him. In Psalms 41:9, we read, "Even my bosom friend, in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted the heel against me." John 6:65. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Those who come to Jesus do so because the Father has made their coming to Jesus possible. The Father has removed roadblocks and stumbling stones and granted understanding, enough understanding for someone to go to Jesus and keep learning from Jesus so they might believe Jesus and believe He is the Savior of the world. With deep humility, instead of arrogance and pride, the followers of Jesus know that they trust in Christ as Lord and Savior because of what God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, has done in their hearts and minds. Jesus' words and the Spirit have given them life, and they are children of God. John 6:66. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Because of Jesus' teaching about himself, insisting that people must remain in or with him to receive eternal life, because Jesus said God the Father must draw to him those who come to him, and because the Father, for reasons known to him, did not do the necessary work in the lives of those who refused to believe in Jesus, many stopped listening to Jesus' teaching. Knowing these facts, Jesus never tried to scare, threaten, or argue someone into following him. Jesus told people the truth and left the results with his Father. John 6:67. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you wish to go away?" Jesus asked the 12 if they were going to follow the crowd and leave him too. He asked this to test them, to enable them to test themselves, or examine their reasons for following Jesus and discover together the depth of their commitment and intentions toward him, for he knew their hearts. The question is a good one for all believers to ask themselves. When questions and difficulties arrive, will we follow the crowd that no longer believes in Jesus? Will we keep believing and reading the Bible? Will we keep believing what the Bible teaches about Jesus and keep following the Jesus of the Bible? John 6:68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter's confession here is similar to his confession to Jesus in Matthew 16:16. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter knew the alternatives to Jesus. He had heard the teachings of John the Baptist, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. He had heard Jesus open up the true meaning of the Bible to his disciples. There were none like Jesus. Furthermore, even though Peter did not understand all Jesus taught, he had heard and seen enough from Jesus to know that Jesus' words gave eternal life. As Jesus explained in John 6:65 and elsewhere, the Father had revealed Jesus to Peter. Peter had a foretaste of eternal life. Peter knew Jesus' words were spirit and life, and the Father had drawn Peter to Jesus. John 6:69. "We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The relationship of those who continued with Jesus began with Jesus calling them to follow him, and they came to believe he was the Messiah. As they followed Jesus, they saw the signs of Jesus, and based on what they saw and understood of Jesus' teachings, they came to believe Jesus and accept Jesus as more than the Messiah, and as the person Jesus said he was. Given more time to hear Jesus teach, and with the help of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they came to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. The title, Holy One, in the Old Testament, was reserved for God, and no doubt the Father, through the Holy Spirit, revealed to Peter that this title belonged to Jesus as the Son of God. We read these words of Jesus to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. In the Old Testament, Holy One is a title used for the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15, God said to the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. In Acts chapter 2, verse 27, on the day of Pentecost, Peter applied a psalm to Jesus' death and resurrection, saying, For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. Jesus' body did not decay. During Job's suffering, in Job chapter 6, verse 10, Job declared, This would be my consolation. I would even exult in unrelenting pain, for I have not denied the words of the Holy One. In the book of Acts, Jesus' disciples exemplified the truth of Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. John 6:70. Jesus answered them, Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. Jesus did not deny but accepted Peter's confession. Jesus added that he had chosen the 12, and when he did, he knew that one of the 12 was a devil, an evil one, who would be his accuser and betrayer. Jesus affirmed that he had not made a mistake in judging Judas' character. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he did not want anyone to think that he had made a mistake in judgment, so Jesus told them in advance. Jesus chose a betrayer to fulfill Scripture. The context of Jesus' teaching affirms that Jesus talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood with relation to his coming death for the forgiveness of sins, a teaching that Judas spurned. John 6:71. He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, the one of the 12, was going to betray him. As chapter 6 concludes, John tells his readers the name of the disciple who would betray Jesus. Judas' father's name was Simon, and Iscariot means either he was a man from Kerioth, located in Moab, or it means assassin. He was the only one of the 12 disciples who was not Galilean. Judas was the treasurer for the 12, and he stole money from their common purse. He loved money instead of God. Thus, his betrayal of Jesus for money was consistent with his moral character as a thief. Questions for discussion and thinking further. 1. What are some things we can do when we find it difficult to understand some teachings in the Bible? 2. When Jesus talked about his ascending to where he was before, why do you think he did not at the same time tell his listeners all about how and where he descended? 3. What are Jesus' spoken words? 4. What did Jesus know about those who heard him speak? 5. Why do you think Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you also wish to go away?" International Bible Lesson, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Right belief will increase knowledge. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." John chapter 6, verses 68 through 69. After many abandoned him, Jesus asked the 12 if they wished to go away too. Peter declared that there was no one else to go to. No one else had the words of eternal life and fulfilled them spiritually each day and would forever as life-giving bread. More than this, the disciples believed Jesus' words and had come to know Jesus by experience. They knew Jesus was and is the Holy One of God. In the Old Testament, Holy One is a title used for the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15, God said to the prophet, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." Peter knew the title belonged to Jesus as the Son of God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 27, on the day of Pentecost, Peter applied a psalm to Jesus' death and resurrection, saying, "For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption." During Job's suffering, in Job chapter 6, verse 10, Job declared, "This would be my consolation. I would even exult in unrelenting pain, for I have not denied the words of the Holy One." After Jesus' resurrection, no matter how Peter suffered as an apostle, like Job, Peter always affirmed what he had seen and heard from Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Jesus' disciples exemplified the truth of these words in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Except for Judas, all but one of Jesus' 12 disciples remained faithful unto death. Copyright 2020 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. All rights reserved. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.